All right, I want to talk to you a little more about some of the themes that we touched on last week. If you look at your bulletin, you should have a little handout there with some blanks to fill in. And I want to talk more about generosity as an attitude, as a lifestyle, and how it relates to thankfulness. And I want to start just with a simple statement. If you look there, the first statement, there's a few blanks to fill in. And let me just start by saying it this way. Generosity is an important attribute, and this maybe isn't a word that you use a lot, attribute, for every Christian to display, and a vital discipline to be practiced. Now, you want to know attribute. I mean, it's a characteristic, you know, so you could walk up to somebody. Ron could walk up to Shandal and say, I really appreciate the attributes on your face. And we'd say to him, are you saying my nose is big? You know, I don't know what you mean. No. An attribute is something that we display, something that somebody sees. It's something that we live but is obvious in our life. So, yes, generosity really is an important characteristic or an important attribute for every Christian to display. But more than simply displaying it, it is a vital discipline that needs to be practiced. Why? Well, let's talk about why. The first reason, simply put, is this. God wants us to be like Him. And, strangely enough, He is generous. Now we'll pray and I'll let you go. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, not yet. I know you got more blanks to fill in. We got to go a little farther than that. Let me read you a few scriptures here. Let's talk about this. In Titus 3, 5 through 7, let's look at God's generosity here. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. It's an interesting use of the word heir in this respect, because an heir is somebody that gains an inheritance. I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to read the book, The Ultimate Gift by James Stovall, or see the movie version of that book. But the main character of the story is a young man who's never really had to be responsible. Grew up angry at his grandfather because of the death of his father and pretty much had everything handed to him on a silver platter. And when his grandfather dies and leaves everybody bits and pieces of his inheritance with strings attached, the grandson finds himself with a challenge from his grandfather, who's videotaped a series of challenges, a series of gifts, he calls them. And the only way that he can actually gain his inheritance is by successfully accomplishing the tasks that his grandfather laid out before his death. So here's this man who is an heir to a possible fortune, but in order to gain the fortune, he has to jump through a number of hoops. Of course, as you follow the story in its entirety, you find out that the inheritance is more than just about the accomplishments and the money. It really comes down to a man being reconciled with his grandfather, even though his grandfather has gone on, and finding the truth about his own life. But when I think about gaining an inheritance and the way that some of those things happen in our world, the strings that are attached, the lawyers that are involved, the things that have to be done in order for these things to come into place, a lot of times it's the people that have the money that don't seem very generous. But here we have a description of what it means to be an heir with Christ. And it tells us that He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So God, who wants to pour His Spirit out on us generously and wants us to become heirs of the spiritual blessings that He desires to give us, having the hope of eternal life. That's one area where God is generous. If you look at James 1:5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives what? Generously to all without finding fault. And it will be given to him. That's plain and simple. Some of us don't have wisdom for one very simple reason. We haven't looked for it. We haven't asked for it. Ouch. Or if you want to back up into the Old Testament, there's a great verse in Psalm 37:21 that simply puts it this way. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. And you know what? As simple as that verse is, this is an important verse for us to really stop and think about, because we are really good at weaseling our way out of responsibilities. See, attitude is so very important when we talk about our generosity. Our generosity being a reflection of God's character. You see, it's easy for us to look for ways to gain blessings through less than appropriate means. And that's a euphemism for just not right. Example, when you're handed too much change in the grocery store, do you keep it and thank God for his blessings? Or do you say, oh, ma'am, you gave me too much money? Because you realize most employees at many of the stores in Gordon and in Shadron and in these areas have to account for the money that's in the till. And if you take that $10 bill that was given to you accidentally over the one, somebody else is going to get in trouble. And even if they don't, it's not going to add up. That's not a big one. I mean, I don't think it's very often we get a 10 instead of a 1. Might get a few extra quarters. But, you know, that's something that if we're going to be honest and we're going to be, we're just being generous with somebody else's money. But our attitude is going to be right. Give back what isn't ours. Here's a harder question. Are you the kind of person that, you know, maybe you work in a job and I've seen this happen before. You have somebody who's working in the workplace and they're a Christian, and maybe their boss is also a Christian or claims to be a Christian. And so because you're a Christian, you expect benefits, kickbacks from the boss. Well, he's a Christian, so am I, so I should get special treatment. It's not a good place to go. Or do you simply expect generosity to be shown to you? I can't even speak now. Do you expect generosity to be shown to you when in truth you aren't in the habit of displaying it yourself? Scripture tells us that we should do unto others what we would have them do unto us. And if you would like to see generosity displayed to you, you must also display generosity. Part of the key is this. Let's go to number two. Okay, it's one thing to understand that God wants us to be like him and that he is generous, that he pours out blessings freely, that he, you know, wants to pour his spirit out on us, that he wants to grant us eternal life, that he wants to give us wisdom when we ask, that he wants to supply our needs. But for us, an attitude of generosity acknowledges that God is the source of our supply. An attitude of generosity acknowledges that God is the source of our supply. And we talked a little bit about this last week. Our tendency is to not have that attitude when we think that it's ours, it belongs to us. When the reality is everything that exists belongs to God, everything that we have has been entrusted to us by God. And so I want to go back to that scripture that I read last week. Now, last week we just read verses 9 and verse 14, but I want to read the whole thing to you today. So 1 Chronicles 29, 9 through 14. We can learn a lot from this instance. The people rejoiced at the willing response of their leaders, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. David the king also rejoiced greatly. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, and this is what David said, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You're the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." What a blessing, David says, for us to be able to give so generously back to God when he has given us everything that we have. Our strength, our might, our wealth, food on the table. You see, it's a different attitude than when we say, "Mine." When Jessica was younger, there was a number of children's shows, and one of the shows, you remember, any of you watched LazyTown? LazyTown. There was one kid, I don't remember the kid's name. I think his name was Stingy. And that was his whole moniker. It's mine. Mine, 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 mine. Thank you. I appreciate it. I was practicing. It's kind of like the seagulls on Finding Nemo. Mine, 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 mine. You know, we have a tendency to think that the things that we have, like a child, you know, we discipline our children for that kind of attitude of not being willing to share or to claim that something is theirs that they just picked off the floor belongs to them. No, it's mine. No, give it back to me. No, it's mine. No, give it back to me. No, it's mine. You know, and while we chastise our children when they're 2 and 3 and 4 years old for doing that, and 5 and 14 and 17 years old for doing that, Bruce just puts his arm around. No. we do the same thing with God all the time. And with each other. You know, God begins to prompt us to share, to offer what we have from the resources that he's entrusted us with. And we say, "No, it's mine. Mine, 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 mine." And God's up there going, "Oh." I don't know if he does that or not, but I'm sure he must sometimes. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 31:5, another example of this. As soon as the order went out, the Israelites generously gave the first fruits of their grain, new wine, oil and honey, and all that the fields produced. They brought a great amount, a tithe of everything. There was no hesitation. They had seen God at work in their midst at this stage, that when they were asked to bring to the storehouse food that would be used, of course, to feed the poor, and food that would be used at the temple to take care of the needs of those who had none, food that would be stored there in case of famine, they didn't script. Said, "You know, we see how God has blessed us. God has asked us to do this. We are bringing it willingly and cheerfully to the Lord. The first fruits of their grain, the new wine, the oil and the honey, and all that the fields produced." Their attitude, they couldn't wait because they knew from whom all things flowed. Third truth is this: God wants to meet needs in our world through our generous giving. God's plan to meet needs in our world, his first plan wasn't to use the government. He did not set up the government as his representative to humanity. He set up his church. So God wants to meet needs in our world through our generous giving. That is, as we talked last week, just a little mini review here, through the deliberate use of our time, money, talents, and resources. God wants to meet the needs in our world through our generous giving. Give you some time to write those in the blanks. I'm going to go ahead and read part of another scripture that we read last week from 2 Corinthians 9. And again, look at it in light of what God has called us to be, what he's called us to do, the example that he's called us to lead. I don't like the fact that people that have worked in restaurants in the past have gotten into the habit, depending on where they live and depending on the church group, to groan and roll their eyes when a particular church group comes into the restaurant because they know it's going to mean no tip and maybe a track and no tip. I always thought if you're going to leave a track, you ought to leave a big tip. Buy the person the right. They say, read this and here's a tip. Because we represent Christ. And if we walk into a restaurant and tip poorly, what does that say about Christ? To that person. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 through 15. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. One of the things that we talked about this verse last week was the fact that our generosity should point people to see the Lord. That when we give, it should glorify God. That people should thank God because of how we give. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. That means you walk the talk and don't just talk it. Did you catch that? The obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. I say that I'm a follower of Christ and I obey what God tells me to do and my life lines up with what I say. When that disconnect exists between what you say you believe and what you do, people see that and they write you off. They write you off, they write the church off, they write God off, and they go a different direction because they don't see the consistency. And you're just like everybody else in the world. Why would they want that? And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Okay, let's look at the fourth and final point this morning. We know that God wants us to be like him because he's generous. We know that an attitude of generosity acknowledges that God is the source of our supply. We know that Scripture tells us that God wants to meet needs in our world through our generous giving. Did you know that when God establishes church, that we in essence are his plan to reach the world in a lot of different ways? We are his plan, and he doesn't really have a plan B. If we, the Christians, who have chosen to follow him and are part of the body of Christ, do not take upon us the responsibility he has given us, there's not another group of people that are going to do what we're not doing. We are plan A. We're the plan. And while he could very well create people out of the rocks and the ground and... That's not what he's going to do. Fourth point, generosity flows from thankfulness. Not only does it flow from thankfulness, but it also leads to thankfulness. And this takes me back to my first statement, the idea that generosity, not only is it an attribute, but it's a discipline. When you're truly thankful, you're more apt to be generous. There are times where we choose to be generous when we're not feeling thankful. I guess I could put it that way. Perhaps, so that would be the word in the quotes. Perhaps we don't always feel like doing it, but we make ourselves give cheerfully to nurture a thankful heart. And so a positive upward spiral of sorts begins to happen in your life. It's a cycle that actually has to begin at some point. And if we don't start that cycle in our personal lives, it's not going to start by itself. There are times you read in the Psalms where David is commanding himself to be thankful, reminding himself of the reasons to be thankful. We are such a feelings-based people. You know, even when we don't think we're touchy-feely, you know, we still have a tendency to think of love in terms of feelings and thankfulness in terms of feelings and waiting until we feel a certain way to do something, when the reality is oftentimes God is calling us to make a choice to do what he's called us to do in spite of the way that we feel. And so at some point, whether you feel thankful or not, we make a decision to show our generosity to those around us as we begin to recognize that everything that we have has come from God. Did God give you the time that you have to hoard it upon yourself? Oprah would say yes, perhaps. A lot of things philosophically in our world, people say things like, well, you know, you can't take care of others until you take care of yourself, which is really the opposite of the way God works, the way God tells us to respond. He says, you know what? You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You stop thinking about yourself and start thinking about what God has called you to do for others. God will take care of yourself. You haven't been called to take care of yourself in that respect, in that way. You've been called to be responsible. But God's called you to a mission. And it's amazing how when you take the mission seriously, you stop thinking about yourself, and all of those things that you thought were so important are not nearly as important as you thought they were before. So even though we don't always feel like doing it, we make ourselves give cheerfully to nurture a thankful heart. Understand that this relates very closely to the concept of faith and works, that good works will and should naturally flow out of true faith. It's not about a balance of faith and works. It's about true faith changing you and motivating you to do good works. And so if you have faith, and that faith that you have is real, then you will do good works. If you are thankful to God, and you really are thankful, you will be generous. Period. You won't be able to stop it, because your attitude and your heart will be changed and focused in an entirely different place than most people. God didn't give you the money that you have to hoard it on yourselves. He didn't give you the talents that you have to hide it or to use it for some purpose that doesn't glorify him. He hasn't given you the resources that you have in order for you to sit and enjoy those benefits only for yourself. The question that we ask ourselves is, how can I take what God has given me and use it to glorify him and to build his kingdom and to draw people to Christ? Because that's why you've got what you've got. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. The enemy tries to get us to focus on what we don't have, or what we don't have enough of, or what we think we still need, which we may or may not really need. I was doing some reading this week relating to some of these themes, and I'd read about a boy that had been to a number of things. He'd been to the amusement park. He'd been camping. He'd been to a birthday party. He'd been to a movie night with some friends. And he got home after a few days of just a flurry of activity. He said, "I'm so bored. There's nothing to do." You just want to kind of go, stop, 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 stop. Stop it. And then you think of those kids. This picture of these kids playing in Africa that had nothing except this funny little round kind of hard ball that was actually a clump of hair that had turned into a hard ball in the stomach of a dead goat. And they're just having a great time playing ball with that piece of hardened goat hair. And I think to myself, oh, we're spoiled. We're so spoiled. You know, we're going to be having a lot of opportunities come up to show generosity. I mean, you're going to have opportunities this week to simply show generosity to your neighbors, maybe people you work with, in different ways, regarding your time, regarding what you've got. You know, next month we're going to be doing fundraisers for the teens. We're going to be looking at our Heart of Ministries offering for World Trafficking. We got agencies in our community that'll be collecting food, but you have a lot of extra food. A lot of us could use a lot less food. Oy. Haiti is a mess. In fact, it's a lot of people are hailing this as the worst natural disaster that they've seen. Even in light of the tsunami that happened a number of years ago, the death toll and the destruction in Haiti and Port-au-Prince in that area is so bad that there are agencies that hardly know where to start. And we ask ourselves, how can we show our generosity in a situation like that? And these are things that you as individuals and as families and as couples may want to spend some time praying about, to realize that even the poorest of us here in the United States, the poorest of us in as economically depressed as Gordon and Chadron and Dawes County and Sheridan County and Pine Ridge and the surrounding area is, we still have so much to offer in what God has given us. And I don't just mean money. What if people saw our lives and the generosity of our lives and saw God so clearly displayed in what we did that they were drawn to him and rejoiced in him because of our example? I'm not going to give you specifics and tell you what I think you need to do to display that, but I think you can spend some time praying this week and asking God for some direction, and he'll show you how you can stretch yourselves in the realm of generosity. Let's pray together, and then we'll let you get gone for lunch, and hopefully we'll see a number of you back here at 1:30 for Franny's presentation. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for being a God who has more than given us what we deserve, made available the riches of your love and your grace and your mercy by giving your very son, your very life, to become our sacrifice once and for all, to supply our needs, to be available to us when we need to come to you and petition you for things in our lives that you're more than willing to supply. And yet, if we are to be honest with you, Lord, we would have to admit and confess our failing and truly representing your character in the way that we live with regards to our time and talents and resources. I pray, God, as we draw closer to you, as we stop and purposefully, deliberately choose to recognize the things for which we have to be thankful, that you would nurture in us a generous heart, one that would draw others to you, one that would build your kingdom, one that would help others see you thank you, Lord, for the lives that will be touched because of the willingness and obedience of some in this room to give of themselves. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, it's not going to do any good in your pocket. All right, God bless. We'll see some of you back here in a little while. Thank you.